Yes, yes, yes. Praise the Lord. Yes. Cheryl's got a couple of testimonies she wants to. Oh, got one testimony.
She have one.
And I have one. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So, praise the Lord. Okay, turn her mic on. Praise the Lord.
We'll get to it. Hello. Okay, on Friday, July the 29th, we got an email. Dear Pastor Thurman, a friend has just phoned me to say that her friend, Elena, in Romania, does anybody know where Romania is? Who is in the hospital, has been given the wrong blood and is now seriously ill and in a coma. Her organs are shutting down. Would you please pray for Elena? Thank you very, very much. Love in Jesus, Margaret. The next day, Saturday, July 30th, dear Pastor Thurman, thank you very much for interceding for Elena. Praise God that she's going to be okay. I'm so glad and very grateful to you for taking time to pray for her. Love in Jesus, Margaret.
Amen.
I want to go to Romania.
Praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to serve a God that answered prayer? I mean, it's awesome to serve a God that answers prayer. And, of course, the thing about it is, there is things that God expects us to do. You know, this is not supposedly a free ride. He has requirements. Now then, I want to show you something that it took me a long time to believe this meant what it said. In fact, I had to have a guy die. He was the same age I was, and he was 55 years old, so that's been a long time ago since I'm 77. But when I was 55, this guy was 55. He's a friend of mine. And I went down to pray for him, and he didn't get healed. So after he didn't get healed, I did everything the Bible said that I knew to do to pray for him for healing, and it didn't work. And so after it didn't work, since I know God can't lie, Miss Jackie, I knew the problem wasn't with God. The problem had to be with me or this man. And I knew it was something one of us did wrong, or both of us. So I began to petition the Lord. I said, Lord, why did this man die? Lord, I got to know. You said in your word that I could come and ask you for anything. Jeremiah 33:3 said, clearly says, I can come and ask the Lord, and he will show me great and mighty things that I know not. And so if he says that, and of course in Psalm 91:15 says the same thing. So if God says we can come and ask him for something, then I think he means what he says. And so I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, now you got to show me what I did wrong. Something's wrong here. I mean, I did everything your word says. I prayed for this man. I did everything. And he died. I mean, I did all this on Monday and he died on Thursday. So it didn't take long. So I said, Lord, you've got to show me what I did wrong in this man's case. Thank you, Lord, for showing me. And I'd sit there and wait a little while, and 10, 15 minutes, I wouldn't hear anything. I'd come back and I'd say, okay, God, I'm going to be on your doorstep. I'm not going away. I got to know what I did wrong so I don't make this mistake again. I don't like to see people die. I like to see them live out their full life. And this guy was only 55. And 55 is not a full life, would you think? Especially if some of y'all in here, you know, that are already 49 and a half, you know, or 52 and a half or something like that, you're thinking, oh, no, no, 55 ain't very old. But if you happen to be 60 or 70 or 80, like some of the rest of us in here, you think, wow, that's really not very old. So anyway, I really petitioned the Lord. Lord, I got to know what happened. Finally, the Lord spoke to me. He answered me. And he said, son, the answer to your question for this man, he said, first of all, you didn't do anything wrong. Okay, now that made me feel real good. I didn't do anything wrong. And if there's anything I'd like to hear God say, I didn't do anything wrong. Don't you love that? I love that. You didn't do anything wrong. But he said, you'll find the answer to your question for this man in John 15:2. Well, I didn't know what John 15:2 said back in those days. So I had to stop the car and open my Bible. Turn to John 15:2. We don't have it up there yet, huh? Okay, John. Okay, it is up there now. Okay. Are you a branch?
Yes.
Are you a believer in Jesus?
Yes.
Okay, so if you are a believer in Jesus, you are a branch. And he says, how many branches?
Everywhere.
Okay, so how many of us would that include?
All of us.
Well, that's 100% of us. Ain't nobody's left out. Every branch in me that bears no fruit. What does he say he does to you? Wow. Cuts you off. Is that what that says? Every branch in me that bears no fruit, I cut it off. I said, Lord, you cut him off. I said, Lord, you killed him. And the Lord said, yes, son. I mean, I told you in my word that you have to bear fruit for my kingdom. In other words, I didn't give you a free ride here. You know, you're supposed to be out doing something. You're supposed to be producing fruit. Well, how in the world, Miss Kim, how could you bear fruit for God this week? What could you possibly do to bear fruit?
Talk to somebody about Jesus.
Okay, talk to somebody about Jesus. That's a good thing. Miss Kim.
Okay.
Go fly to Florida and pray for them, right? I mean, I love to touch a girl like you that's got the faith you got. This girl, her relative, was dying just 2 or 3 weeks ago. And she was already in hospice, and Carrie and her husband, they bought them an airplane ticket and flew to Florida and went to the hospital and hospice place and prayed for this relative, and then got back in their vehicle and went back and got on an airplane and came home. And today, I just asked her a while ago, that person's been released in hospital and not in hospice no more, at home and getting well. Now, do you think Miss Carrie produced some fruit for God last week? She did. She did. Now then, in other words, how many ways can you produce fruit for the kingdom? Jack, just name one. Just one more way.
You can witness
to somebody, a lost person. I mean, you could be in an elevator going up and ask them, hey, are you saved? You know Jesus? You got them in an enclosed place. They can't get away. Because, you know, if you're not in an elevator or something like that, they might say, get away from me, you crazy guy. But, you know, there is an untold number of ways that you can bear fruit for the kingdom of God. Is there not?
Amen.
Somebody says, well, you know, I know how to cook, and so-and-so's sick, so I can make them a cake. Would that be producing fruit for the kingdom? Yeah, there's just a jillion ways you can produce fruit for the kingdom. Because he says then there, every branch in me, which that's all of us, if we don't bear fruit, if we don't do anything for the kingdom, he says he's going to cut us off. Is that what he said?
Cut you off.
Now, you know, you ask the average Christian that, do you think God would kill you? Miss Biddy, do you think God would kill you?
Yeah, I know he would, but... if you're bearing fruit, he won't.
Oh, absolutely not. Now, this is what you want to hear. You're out there bearing fruit. You want to hear the king saying, good girl.
Good girl.
You love that good girl part, right? I do, too. Don't you love it?
Amen.
Because if you're producing fruit. Now, see, and so many people in church today does not realize that God expects us to use the gifts he's given us to bear fruit for his kingdom. Is that right? But according to that scripture, he expects you to do something.
Yeah.
In other words, you say, well, you know, I'm just saved by grace, you know. I'm going to come home and I got saved down at the Baptist church last week or last year or 5 years ago or whatever. I don't have to do nothing now. I can just do whatever I want to do. You know, I mean, I can run around with the guys. I can go out drinking at the bars. You know, I can do whatever. I'm free in Christ. I can do anything. You misinterpreted the Bible somewhere. That's not exactly what he meant when he said he gives you freedom, did he? No, you can't hang out at the bars. You can't mess around with the girls or the boys. You can't do the things that you want to do. You can't do those things because most of those things are not bearing fruit for the kingdom of God. They're all worldly stuff. And so many young people today, they have no idea. And when they get saved, I mean, they just think they can just do anything. I don't even have to go to church if I don't want to. Well, yeah, you don't have to. But it has a consequence if you don't. If you're not going to church and learning things about the kingdom of God, if you're not reading the Word of God, you're not learning how to be a fruit-bearing branch. Now, a fruit-bearing branch, all these things we talked about is fruit-bearing branches. You need to be a fruit-bearing branch. Now, if you don't bear fruit, what did God say he would do? He said he would cut you off, didn't he? I mean, am I adding anything to what's written on the board up there? That scripture says, every branch in me that bears no fruit, I cut it off. Is that what? And then he said, he doesn't stop there, does he?
No.
And every branch that does bear fruit, I prune it to make you even more fruitful. Just like those flowers out there at the front when you come in, some of us never see anything like that, but Cheryl, she trims those every year, everything, and waters those, and that's why we got so many beautiful flowers out there, because she trims them. If it was left up to me, there wouldn't be no flowers out there at all. I'm not a flower person. You know, I'm here to do one thing. That's to teach the Word of God. But see, God gave all of us different gifts, did he not? So Cheryl, I mean, she's got a green or a purple thumb or whatever you want to call it. I mean, when she plants something out there, it grows and it produces flowers. I mean, you know, I never have been much of a rose garden person. So I've never seen much in flowers, but boy, when she plants them, it grows. You know, I don't know what she does, but she's got a gift somewhere, and she uses it for the glory of God. So when she's taking care of those flowers and making those beautiful things, she's bearing fruit for the kingdom of God. Amen. She's doing that so you'll have a nicer place to walk in the door. And some of you notice those flowers, and some of you don't. You know, some of you are like me. I walk in, I never see them. You know, that's just not my gift. I don't see, but some of you look at the beautiful flowers. Well, they didn't come just accidentally. If you don't think it takes a woman or somebody to go along with those flowers, you ought to have seen that front yard out there when God had it all by himself. Before man got involved with it, it needed some work. But whenever the woman comes in and starts bearing fruit, things are going to start happening. So what I'm trying to say here, if you're a Christian, and if God said in his word that you need to bear fruit or he might cut you off, am I quoting what the scripture says?
Yes.
You know, some people say, you know, I don't believe that. You know, God, he's a God of love. I mean, I've had people tell me this. God's a God of love. God would never hurt me. No, he won't hurt you. He'll kill you. I mean, you know, he'll take you out. I mean, he really will. People say, I don't believe that, Pastor Scribner. I don't believe that at all. God is a God of love. He would never hurt me. Just like Miss Betty said there a while ago, she wants to hear God say, well done, my daughter.
Yes.
But you only get that when you do something, right? When you do things for the kingdom of God. Well, this past week, the reason I told you all of that is to tell you about this next testimony. I had a pastor from Mississippi call me this week. He said, Pastor Scrivener, I've got to tell you what happened in my church. I said, oh, I love testimonies. He said, this lady goes to my church and said here a while back, she came down with breast cancer. He said, she went to the doctor. Now, what does most people do when they have something wrong with them?
They go to the doctor.
They go to the medical doctor. So she goes to the doctor, and since she had breast cancer, guess what they did for her? They give her chemo. Can you imagine that? Of course, you know, a chemo treatment only costs $25,000 to $30,000 a treatment. That's all it costs. One chemo treatment, $25,000 to $30,000. Is that about right, Jack?
Yeah, that's what they give
you. Okay, so $25,000 to $35,000 for a chemo treatment, and they want to give you one at least once a month, right? Or every 3 weeks or something like that. And so, you know, however close together they can get them to think, because they can get that more and more money. Because, you know, $25,000 to $30,000 a lick, you know, man, I wouldn't want to, you know, if I was a doctor, I wouldn't need to sell but one of them a month. I could get by pretty good on $30,000 a month, I guarantee. I have no idea what that chemo medication actually costs, but I can tell you it don't cost nowhere close to $30,000. I have no idea. But anyway, she went to the doctor, and they gave her the chemo, and after several chemo treatments, they finally told her, it's in remission, you're okay. That's what she wanted to hear. Now, was this Christian a woman? I mean, this woman a Christian? Yes. Did she go to church? Yes. Okay, now, so why did breast cancer come upon her? The scripture says in Proverbs 26:2, and I want y'all to look at Proverbs 26:2. When I learned this scripture, it changed everything in my life. Proverbs 26:2. Look at this. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeth shall not come. First time I ever read that, I read that and I read that and I read that and I read it. I said, God, the curse, what is the curse? Curse is anything bad that happens to you. Sickness, disease, car wreck, you know, anything, anything that's bad is the curse. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. You can read it in Deuteronomy 27, 28, all that's talked about. The first time I read those two chapters back to back, I mean, I read curse, and I finally said, okay, God, you must be trying to tell me something. So I looked up under my computer, how many times is the word curse or curse used in the King James Bible? And it was 269 times. I said, okay, God, you must be trying to tell me something. I mean, you know, if I run on to Jack and I got something I want to tell him, and it's extremely important, and if I just tell him one time, is that all I'm going to tell you?
No,
he might be listening to somebody else while I'm talking. So let me get you over here to the side, Jack. You don't understand what I'm fixing to tell you. It can cost your life or death. Pay attention, you know, and I'll tell you again. And then if I thought, well, maybe he didn't get that, come over here. So before you go home, I'm going to make sure I beat that in you somehow, some way.
Right.
Because I love you, and I don't want you to wind up getting hurt.
Right.
Doesn't that make sense?
It makes sense.
So why do you think God puts things in his word over and over and over and over? Because he loves you. Is that right? God loves you. He tells you not to do these things. But you know, what if you don't read the owner's manual? And that's what most of us don't do. I didn't do that too well when I was young. I didn't think the Bible was important. You know, I never dreamed that when it says, do not commit fornication because it will come with a cost. And it can cost you your life and send you into hell. If I had read that in Proverbs 1, 2, 3, and 4, as many times as it's written, and I believe that, let me tell you for sure, there would not be a woman, there would not be a person, I don't care who they are, that as a young man, I wouldn't, if I knew that, of course, my mother beat that into me. I mean, she would, thank God for a good mother. I would love to say she beat that into me so many times. Son, whatever you do, always treat a woman you go with like a lady. Don't do anything to her. Don't touch her on her private parts. Don't do that because God said in his word, if you do that, he will judge you. I believed her. She put the fear of God in me. So every time I'd go with a girl, if I even thought about putting my arm around her almost, I'd think, I wonder if I do this, am I going to do anything wrong? You see what I mean? But today, kids do everything. They have sex out of wedlock, and they have no idea why we have gone. Do y'all realize that I talked to a couple here the other day, and I said, you know, when I was a young man, the children that were born with autism was one out of every 26,000 kids. One out of 26,000 were born with autism. But today, I said, it's one in like 70 or 80, and the man I was talking to said, no, it's one in 50. One in 50. Okay. If the curse causes cannot come to, and autism is a curse.
Yes, it is.
And what do you think the problem is? We're having too many people, too many young people that's out there having sex out of wedlock, and they're bringing children, getting pregnant, and some of them, they're killing those kids at the tone of millions, but some of them don't kill them. Some of them bring them into the world. And some of those kids, some of them, they even get married after they get pregnant, but then bring a child into the world that's got autism. You got a child that's got autism, you had a sin in your life. And if you don't want to bring children into the world with autism, then for God's sake, read the owner's manual and do what it says. Because God said, if you obey me and do what I says, I will bless you and your children. Now, do you think he means that? Do you want your child to be born with some kind of physical problem? Some kind of spiritual problem? No, I don't either. I want my children and my grandchildren to be perfect. But God said in his word, every branch that bears no fruit. What does he do? He could kill you. Somebody says, no, 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 that's not what that means. Yes, that's what that means. If I cut you off, I'll kill you. For I brought you into this world and trained you and brought you into my kingdom to be an overcomer. I'm training you to be an overcomer. Don't think for a second that you can just come to church and treat church like nothing. You can just come. I'm the only reason I'm going to church because my dad makes me go to church or my mother says, I got to go. I have to go to church. But just as soon as I get out of here and get in college, you can better be assured I ain't never going to darken the door of a church again. I'm telling you, you're in for a living hell on this earth. A living hell. And then you're going to wonder why. When you go out and mess around with some woman or some woman messing around with some boy and they do stupid things they ain't supposed to do, then you wonder why we got all these problems we got between our children. I'm telling you, it's because of sin. So this testimony. This pastor from Mississippi called me and said, Thurman, I got a woman in my church. She had breast cancer. And she went to the doctor. And they gave her chemo. And it went into remission. And then she, back in church, she's happy. Her breast cancer is in remission. Then 6 months later, she's supposed to go back to a doctor for a checkup. She goes down there feeling great, and they run the test. Stage 4 lymphoma, terminal cancer in every organ of her body. You got 3 weeks to live. Now then, the curse causes can't come to rest. Is that what it said?
Right.
So what should we be looking for?
Sin.
What is the sin that opened the door the first time? There had to be a sin the first time this woman had breast cancer. There had to be a sin. God's word cannot lie to you. It says the curse causes cannot come to rest. So you're doing something that God didn't like. That woman was doing something that God didn't like, and so he struck her with breast cancer. And she went to the world's doctors to have chemo and spent all those thousands of dollars and then thinks she's got it made. And then he says, now this woman, she's in my church, and she's a godly woman, Thurman. She comes to church every Sunday. She is a great woman of God. But she's sick. She's going to die in a few weeks. So he said, I went to her. Said she came to me, in fact, this time. She came to me and said, Pastor, isn't it amazing? The first time around, she went to the world's doctor. Took chemo and everything until the world's doctor tells her there's not any hope now. It's over. Now then, don't you think it's time to come to Jesus now? Yeah. So she came to the pastor, and he said, she came to me and told me, I have been diagnosed with stage 4 terminal cancer. I only have a few weeks left to live. She said, when that doctor told me that, I was on the 5th floor of that hospital. I wanted to just push a button and fly through the window and kill myself. Then she said, that would be murder, and no murder has eternal life. So she said, I didn't want to go to hell. So I decided not to do that. Isn't it amazing? So she goes to the pastor. Of all places for somebody to finally go is to a pastor. What could be wrong with me? I've got this cancer. I went to the doctor. We got rid of it. And now then, after a few months, it's come back and it's impossible. I'm going to be dead in a few weeks. What can I do? And he said, Thurman, I've been listening to you for at least 6 years. He said, I found out in there that I was a country boy and you were a country boy. He said, you were a country boy and you never did go to seminary. He said, I was a country boy and I did go to seminary and I graduated from seminary, but they never taught me these kind of things in seminary. He said, I never heard that at all. But he said, I'd already seen a tremendous change in the healing ministry at my church once I learned the principles that you taught to find the person's sin, get them to repent of the sin, and then pray the prayer of faith for them and stand on a scripture. He said, I started seeing all kinds of people get healed in my church. He said, I didn't have that before. But he said, I'm seeing people get healed. So when this woman came to me, I told her, ma'am, you got a sin in your life. She said, Pastor, you know me. I have been here for years. I come to church every Sunday. Every time the door is open, I come to church. I tithe. I walk in love. I don't have no bitterness, no unforgiveness, no nothing. Something, nothing. So why in the world did this devastating sickness come upon me? And you know, you hear people say, you know, bad things do happen to good people. Let me tell you, there ain't no such thing as a good person. Ain't no such thing. Jesus even said that, didn't he? So she said, I don't understand. He said, ma'am, Thurman has taught me from that book that if the Bible says that the curse causes cannot come to rest, there is a sin in your life. And we got to find it. She said, well, I'm not doing anything wrong. I mean, you know, I try to purify myself from all evil and walk holy before God. And he said, well, ma'am, from what I see, it appears you're doing that. But you got a problem. The sickness is all over your body. So that means you got to have a sin in your life. She said, well, my God, what could it possibly be? He said, you know, I don't know that either. You don't know that, and I don't know that. But you know, I've heard Thurman say so many times on his tapes, if you got a person that's sick and you can't figure out what their problem is, ask God.
Amen.
Jeremiah 33, the scripture says, ask God, and he will tell us. Does it do that?
Yes.
Jeremiah 33:3 clearly says, ask the Lord, he'll tell you what your problem is. Is that right, Miss Jackie?
Amen.
So she said, okay, well, let's ask him. So he said, Father, in the name of Jesus, would you please tell us what this woman done wrong to make her sick? You don't see many people pray a prayer like that, do you? And all of a sudden she screamed, my God. He said, what happened? He said, he spoke to me. He just told me what I done wrong. She said, well, what did he say? He said, the gifts I give you in music and teaching, you used them for my glory when you were younger. But as you've gotten older, you quit singing in the choir and you quit teaching a Sunday school class. So you're doing nothing for my kingdom. I give you those gifts and you're not using them, so I'm fixing to cut you off. A good woman. Now, how does that roll? That'll get your attention, won't it? You're a godly woman or a godly man. You're coming to church every time the door's open. And you look like you're the best Christian on the block, but you hadn't done nothing for Jesus. You fattened your own self, your own pocketbook. You ain't done nothing for the glory of God. You've done it all for yourself. And now you're fixing to die. You've got terminal cancer. She said, well, what do we do? He said, my God, the rest of it's simple. He said, confess your sin, and he will forgive your sin. Is that what he said? Is it wonderful that we can come to God and say, Lord, I messed up. Yes, I know you give me that gift. I know you give me a beautiful voice, and I used to sing in the choir, and I loved it. But as I got older, I thought I'll let the younger people do it. I don't need to do it, but I still come to church every Sunday. Every Sunday. But all she done is take up, warm a pew. Didn't do nothing for the kingdom of God. That's not what he brought us here for, was it, Miss Jackie? He brought us here to do something for his kingdom and to bring glory and honor to his name. Is that right?
Amen.
So she said, well, let me ask the Lord to forgive me. I'm so sorry. So she said, Father, according to 1 John 1:9, you said if I would confess my sin, you would forgive me my sin and you would restore me to righteousness. So, Father, I'm so sorry that I have not used those gifts. You did give me some beautiful gifts. I've been told many times how beautiful my voice is. And I've been told many times how awesome a Sunday school teacher I was. But, Lord, I have quit doing everything. I'm only warming a pew now. Will you please forgive me? And I promise you I will do things for the kingdom of God. I will start teaching again. I will start singing again. I will occupy till you come for me. Is that what he said?
Amen.
So she said, thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. And the pastor said, I thank the Lord with her. I told her, said, now then, it's done. Do you have another appointment with the doctor? She said, yes, next week. He said, go let them check you and see what happens. He said, the woman went to the doctor the next week and they checked her. There was not one cancer cell in her body, not one. That's a testimony like you have probably never heard in your life. But, you know, it's all there, isn't it? Every branch in me that bears no fruit, I cut it off. So if you're having problems, you're having sickness and disease, or you're a young person and you're having trouble with your car and car wrecks, and I mean, I see young people all the time that have car wrecks, break their back and do all kinds of things, and everybody says, that's a fine Christian boy. He comes to church every time the door is open, but they don't know what he does when he ain't there. But God knows what you do everywhere you are. And I'll tell you what, he's a merciful, loving, patient God. And I'm going to tell you, you young boys, as well as us old boys, if God wasn't a patient, loving God, I can tell you one old boy that wouldn't be here today. This one would be dead. I mean, I can remember one time when the Lord says, children, honor your parents so that it may go well with you. I used to love to drive fast when I was a young, dumb, stupid 18-year-old kid. I know nobody else besides me ever done this. But I was driving down the road one day with my mother in the car. And I was driving about 80 miles an hour, and the speed limit was 50. Mother reached over and patted me on the leg and said, son, would you please slow down? I said, no, Mom. I love driving fast. I said no to my mother. I mean, just because I'm 19 or 20 years old, you know, my mother might not have been big enough to reach over and slap me and get my attention, but God's big enough. Yes. Because it wasn't very long after that, I come around that same corner where I was at that day driving 80 miles an hour with my mother, and she asked me to please slow down, and I didn't, and I told her, no, I'm going to drive fast because I want to. It was it wasn't too long after that, I come running around that same corner at 80 miles an hour, and there sat the police department. And as soon as I come around here, I couldn't slow down quick enough. He didn't have radar back in those days, but he knew I was going way too fast. So he turned on his lights and come after me, and I got up to the top of the hill, and I pulled off and stopped. Back in those days, I used to work for $80 a week, 54 hours a week for $80, and my fine was $300. Oh! Y'all know what I mean? You talk about getting your attention? You know, $80 a week, and it cost me $300 to pay that fine? And then I thought, okay, I won't speed anymore, but they took my driver's license away from me. Now then, I'm trying to get back and forth to work, and one day my uncle calls me and wants me to go out and take care of his pigs. He don't know I don't have a driver's license. So I thought, okay, I will borrow one of the company cars, not mine. I'll borrow one of the Chevrolet house that I work, a car, and I'll go out and feed my uncle's hogs because I told him I'd feed them for him. So I get in a car, drive over the top of that hill, and that same spot, there was a policeman, a sheriff, and as I come around that corner, driving slow, I wasn't speeding or nothing, I come right by him, and he looked in the car, and he saw me in there. He said, oh, Thurman don't have a driver's license. He turns around, turns his lights on, and comes up there, and it cost me another $300 and another 6 months on my driver's license. So now then I drive without drive. I don't drive. I walk for a year. Now then, all that was just something good things happening to good boys. No, I was under a curse because I did not treat my mother with love and respect. You know, the average young boy today never puts that together. They never understand that I am where I am because of my sin. I'm telling you that when you learn the truth and you start walking in obedience to God's word, you start walking holy before God, you start doing what he says, then you can go the next 35 or 40 years of your life and not be stopped for no way. I haven't had, praise God, I don't speed anymore. I mean, I didn't like walking for a year, guys. It was no fun. But you know, God was big enough to know how to take care of me. And he was patient with me. He could have killed me back there. And I mean, I can remember that same mountain right there. One day, me and a boy was coming to town, and it's a mountain, a two-lane road, and it's still there even to this day. And he had a 55 Chevrolet, and I had a 53 Ford convertible. And I had it all souped up because I was a mechanic, and we got up on top of that hill, and we're coming around the corner, and there is at least a 30 or 40-foot drop-off right off the side around going around that mountain. And I passed that boy on that road coming around that mountain. You talk about an idiot. That's one of the things I said, you know, if I'd had a brain back in those days, I'd have taken the sucker out and played with it. It's amazing how stupid we are, especially when we're young. But you know, God, in his infinite mercy, by taking my driver's license away from me and making me walk for a year, he got my attention. Today, I don't speed. Not at all. I mean, in fact, I'd rather drive a mile or two below the speed limit than a mile or two over the speed limit. You know, a friend of mine was going down to Louisiana here a while back. And over here in the state of Texas, it's a known thing that you can drive 3 to 5 miles an hour over the speed limit without getting stopped, as a rule. So he was driving 5 miles an hour over the speed limit. He goes across the Texas border into Louisiana. Hadn't gone very many miles until a policeman stopped him. He said, "Sir, what did I do wrong?" He said, "Well, you were driving 5 miles an hour over the speed limit." He said, "Yeah, I know that. But said, you know, I'm from Texas, and that's a law over there. We can drive five." He said, "But you ain't in Texas. You're in Louisiana, and we don't give you that option over here." So he said, "You're going to get a ticket for driving 5 miles an hour over the speed limit." Isn't that amazing? So he said, "Guess what?" He said, "Next time I go to Louisiana, when I hit the Louisiana border, I slow down to the speed limit." In Texas, he said, "I never get stopped driving 5 miles an hour over." I told him, I said, "You know, I believe if that happened to me, I believe I'd start driving the speed limit both places." Because see, here's something else we don't understand. God said in his word that you and me, male or female, young or old, it makes no difference, we are to obey the laws of the land. Is that what he said? So if the speed limit says 60, guess what you're supposed to drive?
60
or under. If you don't, you'd be like this young man that was a truck driver. He came here to this church when we were in Dallas. He listened to me for several Sundays, and he's come to me one Sunday afternoon, and he says, "I've never heard the Word of God proclaimed like you do it," but he said, "Everything you say is written in that book just like you quote it." But he said, "I don't understand. Since I'm learning these promises, I'm trying to learn to stand on these promises, but God is not answering my prayer." I said, "What do you do for a living?" He said, "I'm a truck driver." I said, "Do you speed?" "Speed?" He said, "Thurman, you can't make a living in or driving a truck without speeding." I said, "Did God say in his word that you're to obey the laws of the land in Romans 13? He said, "Yes, he did." I said, "Okay. You want God to answer your prayer, you're going to have to do it his way." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, if you're driving 5, 10 mile an hour, 15 mile an hour over the speed limit, you're breaking the laws of the land. You may not be getting stopped by a cop, but God's with you. He knows every time you mess up." So I said, "That's why he's not answering your prayer, because you're sinning." He said, "You mean to tell me you think God won't answer my prayer because I sin?" I said, "He clearly says in several places, I will not hear the prayer of a sinner." Is that what he said?
Exactly.
He said, "Are you telling me that if I repent of my sin and drive the speed limit, God will answer my prayer?" I said, "Guarantee it. Guarantee it." So about 2 or 3 Sundays later, he was back in town, and he come to see me, and he said, "Pastor, from the day I left you here and I repented, I have not broken this law. I have driven the speed limit." He said, "I have asked God for 4 or 5 things in the last 2 or 3 weeks," and he said, "He's answered every one of my requests." Now, isn't that amazing? Do you think God really means for us to do what he says?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, and so when people say, you know, bad things happen to good people. No, that's not true. That's not true at all. Bad things happen to people that don't obey God's rules. Because it clearly says, that the curse causes cannot come to rest. Is that what that says? So what does that mean? If you don't sin, the curse cannot come upon you. Is that what he says? God will watch over you. He will protect you. Just like this woman. If this pastor hadn't have listened to my teachings over the last 6 years and known how to do this, he would have lost this woman. And everybody would have said, isn't that a shame? As they come up and look down in Miss So-and-so's casket. Such a nice woman. I remember when she used to sing in the choir. She had such a beautiful voice. Or one of the younger people come and say, yes, she was one of the best Sunday school teachers I ever had. What a woman. But here she died. I don't know how old she was. I'm just going to say 50. I don't know. But anyway, she had not lived out her full life by no means. But you know, have you ever seen people look down in a casket and say, boy, he was a really good so-and-so, or she was a really good so-and-so? But she died at 50. They don't even think to ask why they died at 50. It's just, well, it was just their time to go. No. God said in his word that our years are to be 70 or 80 or 90. At least he says 70 or 80. We should all live to be at least 70 or 80. And of course, Dave tells me we should live way beyond that. And he's probably right. But I can't find any righteous people. You know, Dave, you notice Dave's trying to teach you you're righteous. So when you get a hold of that, if you really get a hold of the fact of what Dave taught you when he was up here, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. If that really becomes a revelation to you, you won't go out and sleep around. You won't go out and speed. When you become convinced that you are a son or a daughter of God and that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, you will start acting righteous because you'll see who you are. You'll stop being that sinner. You won't be looking at pornography. You won't be sleeping around with women or boys or women or men that you ain't married to. Daughters and sons of the King don't do that. Only people that are controlled by the flesh do those kind of things. But if you're driven by the flesh, you're going to do those kind of things. That's why you've got to teach them the principles of the kingdom. Wow. What do you think about that testimony, huh? Just think, a great woman of God, no sin in her life that she knows of, no unforgiveness, no bitterness, no nothing. In every case, every woman I've dealt with in the last 20 to 30 years that had breast cancer had an unforgiveness toward a woman. But in this case, this might have been the woman has a sin against her own body. So the breast cancer came upon her. But the chemo put her in remission. And then after that, she thinks she's home free. And just a few weeks, that thing came back with a vengeance. You're going to die in just a few weeks. There's nothing we can do. Who would ever dream, let's find the sin and let's confess that sin, and then let's pray for healing and expect God to do what he says. But see, when you've seen that happen as many times as I have, you know what makes things work. Isn't that something? How many of you want to live to be an old, healthy person? Ooh, me too. I want to live to be an old, healthy person. So guess what that means you got to do? Yeah. In fact, I'm going to show you something under the old covenant. Everything we've talked about so far has been under the new covenant. In other words, if you're a branch and you don't bear fruit, he's going to cut you off. Is that what he said, Tony? I mean, that's clear, isn't it? So what do we have to do to not get cut off? Bear fruit. That's right. Do some kind. So, you know, every one of us today, every one of us, when we go out of here today, we should have some kind of a desire in your heart to produce some kind of fruit for the rest of your life for the kingdom of God. You know that? I don't know about you, but I want to bear fruit. I want to be known as a man that means what he says and says what he means. A man of integrity, So I want to be a man of God, a true man of God. You want to live to be an old, healthy person. And you want to see God do great and wonderful things in your life. I want to show you something under the old covenant now. This is what inspired me. Well, the one thing we did use under the old covenant was Proverbs 26:2. The curse causes cannot come to rest. So if you come down with something sick or things start happening in your house, your world starts falling apart. When things start falling apart, guess where the problem is? Right here. You don't have to look very far. The problem's right here in your house. When people say, you know, the devil's really been after me this week, when they come to me, I say, well, just stop sinning. We'll cast him out. And that's no problem. I mean, that's no problem. The scripture clearly says under the new covenant, 1 John 5:18. In fact, let's go there first before we go anywhere. 1 John 5:18, we'll stay under the new covenant. I want you to look at this. 1 John 5:18, my true children do not sin. They keep themselves from evil, and therefore the evil one cannot touch you. Is that what that said? So guess what? If the devil's on your case, according to that scripture, who's sinning? You are. What do you need to do to get the devil off your back? Stop sinning. If you stop sinning, that's just like children. I see children all the time that have all kinds of issues. And they don't understand why they're sick, why they're having problems. But when dad tells them to do something, and of course, I've seen this so many times in young people under 20 start having seizures, and that ain't no fun. Those seizures, I've had many of them right here in my church. But it's a demon. And in every case, it's a demon. But when daddy tells you to do something, especially boys, usually have this problem with young boys. They go and ask daddy, can I do something? Can I go to a rock concert? No, son, you can't go to no rock concert. But dad, no. Okay, I won't go. So some boys come by and pick him up that night. And where are y'all going? We're going to go down here and have a Coke. We'll be back after a while, Dad. But they go to the rock concert. And then a year later, 2 years later, 3 years later, they come down with a seizure, an epileptic seizure. Just a coincidence. No. You sinned against your daddy. The other day, I saw on Daystar, it was on the Sid Ross show, there was a boy, looked like he's about 12, 14 years old. His mother, he had two sisters at home, both of them bigger than him. But his mother needed to go down to the store, and she told the boy, especially, not the girls, she said, son, whatever you do while I'm gone, don't go outside the house. Stay in the house. Okay, now, does that seem like really difficult to understand? Stay in the house? I mean, you can't really mess that up, right? Well, he stayed in the house for a little while, and then he got bored. And you know how 12, 14-year-old boys are, right? You know, especially if you've been one. So he goes outside, and he sees a bucket, a sealed-up bucket, plastic gallon jug. So he's kicking it, running off, kicking it. Now, what he doesn't know is what's in that jug. So he's kicking it and having a good time, just kicking it and running along, kicking it. That sound like a kid? That's what they do. So in a little while, he runs over there and grabs that jug and picks it up and cracks the lid. When he does, it has muriatic acid in it. And it says, blinds him, burns his face off. I mean, just, I saw him. They had him on the show. Did you see that, Kim, Scott?
I did.
Oh, y'all saw that too, huh? He was awful. The girls went and called mother. They found out that he started screaming. They went outside, and there he lay in that jug and acid everywhere, all over his face. He's burned. Eyes can't see nothing. I mean, that muriatic acid just took the lens off his eyes just that quick. Now he's screaming. Why did this happen to this good kid? He disobeyed his mother. So when mother got home, the girls called mother at the store and told her something happened. Something blew up in his face, and he's got some kind of acid all over him. So she comes running home. mother comes on the show. She said something I have never seen another mother say ever. She said, "Son, do you know why this happened to you?" He said, "No." She said, "It happened to you because you disobeyed me. This is why it happened." I thought, man, I have never heard that before, except in this church. She said, "Son, you got to ask me to forgive you. And then you got to ask God to forgive you for disobeying your mother." So I said, "Mom, I'm sorry. I do. I repent of my sin. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean nothing." He didn't. But he's still a dumb kid, but he disobeyed orders. So he's paying the consequence. This was on the Sid Ross show. I saw it just a few weeks ago. And the mother, once he repented to his mother, then he said, "Now, son, you got to repent to God and tell God you're sorry for what you did." And he did. He said, "God, I'm so sorry that I disobeyed my mother's orders. Please forgive me." She said, "Now take this towel and go in there in the bathroom and wash your face." He went in the bathroom, stuck his hands down under that fresh water, started splattering all over him and everything, and he raised up and took the towel and drew, and when he looked in the mirror, his face was perfect without a burn or a mark. Somebody say, "I don't believe God will do that." Hey, let me tell you, he will. If you take Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2, he clearly says, every act of disobedience is judged. Is that scary? So what do you get by with? If every act of disobedience to the law is judged, what do we get by with? Nothing. So you wonder why good things happen to, or bad things happen to good people. First of all, they ain't no good people. We're under curses and blessings. It's totally curses and blessings. But the good part about this is, just think about that young boy that had the acid in his face and his eyes and all over. I mean, his face was burned awful. But the minute he repented to his mother, repented to God, and washed his face, God completely healed his face. Isn't it wonderful to have a God that forgives that quick? Amen. That restores that quick? Somebody says, "You know, I didn't know those things." You know the reason we don't know these things? It's because we don't read and study that book. If you read and studied God's Word, where do you think I learned all these things? Where do you think I learned them?
God's Word.
Where do you think I learned them, Mike?
In the Word.
In the Word. Guarantee it's in the Word, isn't it? I got tickled at Mike, him and Gracie the other day. They was over there at their shop, and a young man that used to work with me at Sky Chef, and he come in and he was talking about looking for a church, and Mike told him, said, "Well, you ought to go over to Thurman's church." He said, "Thurman's church? Thurman Scribner?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Do you know him?" He said, "Yeah, he worked with me at Sky Chef." After he found out that he knew me and Mike knew me, Mike said, "It's like living a normal Sunday afternoon all over." He said, "All that boy did was tell testimonies, the same kind I told about things he saw God do while I was working at that place. Is that right?"
Yes, sir.
I don't know about you, but I want people, when they walk where I've walked, I want people to say, "There's a man that walked with God. There's a man of integrity." My own son came to me the other day and he said, "Dad, one thing I'll say about you, nobody has ever said a bad word about you to me in my whole life." I said, "Well, son, that's the way I want to be known. I don't want to be the guy that looks at the worst pornography on the block. I don't want to be the guy that runs around with my wife more than anybody else. I don't want to be known like that, because that guy usually winds up dying at 40 or 50. He don't live long. But God said his word. You know, the thing that scares you to death is, if you read Proverbs 1, 2, 3, and 4, you'll find out what happens to the boy that goes into the prostitute's house. Her steps lead to hell. It leads to death. And it brings all kinds of disease into your body, and you will die with agony and pain in your body. You know, since God made all those statements, why do people do what they do? They don't read the book. And if they read it, they don't believe it. Isn't that something? Why do we do what we do? Because we don't know what the Word says. Then we wonder why we die. And you know what, really something? Just like this story that Cheryl read to you. When somebody gets the wrong blood and they're going to die, they're comatose and ain't no chance for them to live. And in Romania, and somebody give them our email, and that woman emailed us, and I took authority over that situation, remitted the woman's sins, and prayed the prayer of faith with my lovely bride laying right there beside me, and the next day that woman's recovering and out of danger. Is that the way you want to be known?
Yes.
Yes, that's the way I want to be known. I mean, call Cheryl and Thurman. They can pray the prayer of faith for you. We love that, don't we, honey?
Amen.
Yes,
amen.
We love that. I love serving a living God, a God that answers prayer. But I've loved learning the principles of the kingdom. That's probably the most important thing I ever did, isn't it, Jack? Learning the principles of the kingdom. And once you learn the principles of the kingdom, I mean, you can take an old Baptist boy like Jack there that hardly ever got an answer to prayer. Hardly ever. And when he learns the principles and you start living, he answers your prayer just like he does mine now, doesn't he, Jack?
Exactly.
Wow. And doesn't that make life wonderful?
Wonderful.
I guarantee it makes life wonderful. Wow. You know what? If you learn the consequences of sin, you ought to be driven to be pure and holy before God. Wouldn't you think?
Yes.
That's mine and Jack's goal, isn't it, Jack?
Yes.
As we've learned, we want to have him answer every prayer we pray for somebody.
Absolutely.
And so yes, absolutely. So by that, we want to say, Lord, keep us clean and pure and holy. No sin in our life. Wow. Just think, that little lady over there in Mississippi goes to church every Sunday, walked in love with everybody, had a beautiful voice, good teacher, been in church all of her life, but then in her older age, she quits producing fruit for the kingdom, and it almost cost her her life. Yeah, nobody would have had any idea that's what's killing this woman. But that pastor, he had listened to our teaching over and over and over. He said, Thurman, I learned a whole lot more listening to you in the last 6 years than I did in seminary. He said, but the thing I've learned about you, you teach the Bible just exactly like it's written. Like every word in it means exactly what it says. Well, that's what I say, Jack. I mean, my goodness, if I read it, I mean, I'm not near as intelligent as you are, but at least I can read. And when I read, if it says don't sin, if it says don't do this or don't do that, if it says do this, then I better do what it says, right? And when I do, wow. Just think. You want to live a long, healthy life?
Yeah.
Miss Paula, which is better, sick or being well?
Well.
The reason she could answer that so quick is because Miss Paula had only been sick for 20 years. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
20 years, and just recently she got healed for a few months ago.
She was really sick.
I know.
I was her witness.
Oh, you were her witness.
I was the one that told her about you.
Oh, praise the Lord.
I had her to come here.
Well, so you ought to really love her then, huh?
I love her.
you love everybody because you're supposed to love everybody. As a daughter of the King,
yes.
You love because he loves you.
Yes.
And because he loves you, that's why he healed you.
Yes.
Because he loves you. And I don't even have any idea what the sin was that brought that on. It don't make any difference. Obviously, you got it taken care of.
Yes.
Because he forgave you and he healed you.
Yes, he did.
But you had to suffer for 20 years in the meantime.
Yes.
Wow. So it's wonderful being healed, right, girl?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Is God good or is God good? But over at the Marriott at the DFW Airport on 183, Marcello is having a prayer meeting and everything. And one of his team members has called and asked me to do a 3 to 5 minute prayer for the nation and for Dallas and so forth. And so I've agreed to go to that. And they just said, if anybody from my church wants to come to the meeting, they have to let Cheryl know so she can tell them, because they have to have a reserved number of seats. So it's going to be a Thursday at 7 p.m. in the evening, right? Thursday at 7 p.m. So, you know, if anybody does want to go Thursday at 7 p.m. to that meeting, I don't know who the speakers were or are going to be, but there are several well-known pastors. I don't know how in the world they got me in there for a prayer warrior. But anyway, I mean, nobody. Oh, okay. Jesus put me in there, Rick. Thank you, Lord. But anyway, we're going to be there Thursday afternoon at 7 p.m. And at some time during the course of the night, I don't have any idea how long it's going to last. I mean, but I guess you can stay as long as you like or go home when you want to. They're not going to lock the door or anything like that. So you can go when you want to. But if you do want to go, you got to let Cheryl know today.
Yeah, because I have to let them know tomorrow.
Yeah, so she has to list with them tomorrow who all wants to go, because it's at the Marriott Hotel. So it's not open just to the public. They got to have a reservation. So, but anyway, we will be there. And if anybody else wants to go, just let Cheryl know, and she can get you signed up. That way you can get in when you get there down at the Marriott on 183. Is that right? Marriott 183? At DFW? Yes, at DFW. Yeah, the Marriott at DFW. Yeah. Oh, yes. If you need information, she's got all the information for you and everything. Wow. Is there anybody going to walk holy before God after today? I'm going to hold up both hands. I really want to produce fruit for the kingdom of God. I do not want to get cut off. I don't early, not early. I realize someday I got to die, but I don't want to go home early. And when I go home, I really, you know what I think about this? Can you imagine this year, this woman, you know, with not singing, not using her gift that God give her, and then she dies, and when she gets to heaven, the Lord tells her, well, you know, I had to bring you home early because you didn't do what I told you with the gifts I gave you, so welcome home. Can you imagine when you go through heaven and you run into other people and they say, wow, where were you? How come you didn't get to, well, you didn't live to be 55 years old. What did you do to get you cut off so early? Well, I quit singing. Man, does that sound like a terrible sin? It doesn't sound like it, does it? I mean, not at all. In fact, there's a guy one time was a deacon in the Baptist church when I was over at Louisville, and he was fixing to get to retire from the company he worked for in Dallas. And he said, you know, I said, what are you going to do when you retire? He said, my wife and I is going to buy us a motor home, and we're just going to travel around over the U.S. I said, wow, you'll get to visit a whole lot of different churches like that. He says, I've been to church every Sunday here as a deacon. When I leave here and we travel, he said, I'm not going to church anymore. See, he doesn't have a clue what this book says. And I never even thought about that since then. I just wonder, maybe one day I'll look to see if that guy's still alive. He may not be. You know, if you stop producing fruit for the kingdom, what did God say he's going to do to you? He's going to cut you off. Now then, he may give you 5 or 10 or 15 years to bring you back. But eventually, if you stop producing fruit, you're on dangerous ground, aren't you, Carrie? See? So, but you see, you know, when I think about what Carrie and her husband did by going down to Florida and praying for that relative, and that lady is completely out of hospice and at home and recovering, I just think, well, now that's producing fruit for the kingdom. To make a trip. It's just like here a while back. We had a lady, a family, called us from Anchorage, Alaska. From Anchorage, Alaska. And they said, we would give anything if we could have you come up here and pray for us. I was so busy, so I said, okay, I can't go. But I'll tell you what I will do. I don't do this very often. It's a long ways to Anchorage, Alaska. You know that? But I bought Jeff an airplane ticket and had him pack a bag and took him down here to the airport. And he got on that airplane and he flew all the way to Anchorage, Alaska, and went to this family. And he prayed over this person And then the next day they brought him back and he flew all the way back. He was virtually up 2 or 3 days. Now then, somebody said, man, I ain't going to do that. Let me tell you, when God calls you to do something, you do what he says. I don't care if he says, Thurman, send Jeff to Timbuktu, Anchorage, Alaska. Jeff absolutely, he had no problems. He said, no, Pastor, that's too far. I ain't going to do that. No. He said, you want me to go do that? I'm out of here. Give me an airplane ticket. I'm gone. You know what some of us would have said? I ain't going. That's too far and snaky for me. You see what I mean? But it didn't make any difference how many rattlesnakes was out there or nothing else. Jeff went. And he prayed for that person, just like God told us to do. You do it. Yeah. Now, I don't do that for everybody that calls. You know, I mean, we get people like this call in Romania. You know, I've learned I can pray over the not even the phone. I didn't even use a voice. We used an email. God, there's no limitations of what God can do, right? Right, Gracie? I mean, you know, you can take an email and pray for a lady in Romania that's got her blood mixed up wrong and she's going to die. And the next day, she's out of the hospital. She's recovering. So you see, there's no limitations what God can do, is there? Get rid of your sin, walk holy before God, and stand on his word, and then thank him for your healing. And then after you get well, my God, don't get into sin again. Do y'all understand that? You know, God's best is not healing you. God's best is you living in divine health. But this scripture I started to show you a while ago, I'm going to show you these and then I'm going to quit. I'll go to the old covenant. Exodus 15:26. Exodus 15:26. And he said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. Diligently. You notice that? If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, then, numbers, that means if God says do something, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to do it. If he tells you to walk in love, what are you supposed to do? Walk in love. If he tells you to bear fruit for his kingdom, what are you supposed to do? Bear fruit. See, he hadn't changed. Give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. Then I, God, will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. In other words, if you obey God and you stay in his word and you go to church every Sunday, you praise him and love him and worship him. You treat your mate with love and respect. If you happen to be the woman, you're to submit to your husband in all things. And if you're the husband, you're to love that woman like Christ loved the church. Is that things God told us to do?
Yes.
Then what do you think he expects you to do? If you're the man in your house, does he expect you to love your wife like Christ loved the church? Yes. Does God expect every man that has married to love his wife like that? Yes. And what if you don't? He made it real simple. He said in his word in 1 Peter 3, if you don't do that, I won't answer your prayer. I will not answer your prayer. So you wonder why so many men can't get a prayer answered. They're not real good to their wives. And they get disciplined. I don't like to be disciplined by God. It hurts. I don't like a spanking from God. Do you? I mean, he really knows how to give you a spanking. But what do you think about that Old Testament promise there? If you obey him and do everything he says, how much sickness are you going to have?
None.
So if you start coming down with sickness, what do you need to look at? I need to find out what I done wrong. And if you're like that lady, that was a good one on me when he told me, he said, Thurman, this lady goes to church. She's in church every time the door's open. I mean, said she's just a wonderful woman. Said she's been coming to my church for years. Said she's just a wonderful woman. Has no bitterness, no unforgiveness, no nothing. So he said, I was at a loss. But the word said, kept going back to the word says, no curse comes upon you undeserved. There's got to be a problem. So let's ask God and see what it is. And man, he told her just like that. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that story that we were just talking about. what led me to that John 15, 2, there was a friend of mine that was 55 years old. When I was 55, we were the same age. We went to high school together. And he has brain cancer. And he's dying. And I went down and prayed over him, anointed him with oil. I did everything I knew to do for that man on Monday. And he died on Thursday. So when I went down to the place where he was at, where he was living, a rest home, when I walked in, I met a woman. And I said, "Ma'am, who are you?" And she said, "I'm his wife." I said, "Well, I knew his first two wives." I said, "I knew he'd been married twice before." I said, "Are you number three?" She said, "Yes, I'm number three." And I says, "Well, he's a good man." She said, "Oh, I love him. He's a really wonderful man." I said, "Where do y'all go to church?" She said, "The First Baptist Church is Star." I said, "Oh." I said, "How many times have you been?" Now, you know, it makes you wonder why you ask certain questions. I'll tell you why. You're led by the Spirit of God. I said, "How many times have you been?" She said, "About six times, five or six." I said, "Five or six times? I can't believe y'all have only been to church five or six times. This is nearly the middle of the year." I said, I can't believe. I said, this guy used to be a Sunday school teacher. He was a youth leader. I said, he was very active in the church. I said, I can't believe y'all have only been to church five or six times this year. Well, she said, "Thurman, we've been married 10 years. We've only been to church five or six times in 10 years. So how much fruit do you think he produced in the last 10 years? Not very much. In fact, maybe none. So I prayed over him, done everything. I did not know, because he can't talk or nothing. And in fact, he can't do nothing. He's sitting there looking out a window. The brain tumors have just messed him up. So I did everything I knew to do for this man, but I didn't know how to remit sin. Back in that day, that's before I had that revelation, Kim. So I didn't know how to remit his sin. Now I know that scripture. But I did pray for him, and without remitting his sins, and we could not confess the sin. So by not confessing the sin, I just thought after I prayed for him, I asked him, I said, "Do you know who I am?" And he turned around and looked at me, and he said, "You're Thurman Scrivener." I said, "Praise God, I know you're going to get well." Well, I didn't know how to remit sin. He didn't confess his sin. I didn't know how to remit him. So that was on Monday. Thursday, he died. And, of course, on the way home, that's when I'm saying, "Okay, God, I did everything I knew to do. There's all kinds of promises in your word. I did them all. But still, this man died. I did everything except one. I didn't know to remit his sin. That's the one thing I failed on. I didn't know how to confess his sin." I still believe to this day, if I had known that principle, and I could ask the Lord to forgive his sin. "Lord, I forgive his sin." John 20, 23 says, "Now I ask you to forgive him. Now then restore him and heal him and raise him." I believe with all my heart that man will still be alive today.
Amen.
But I didn't know. And you can't go beyond knowledge. That's why I say get in this book, study this book, learn this book. If you're a young man or a young woman, get in this book. This is the most important book you'll ever read in your life. Read it and study it and learn it. Hide it in your heart. Throw away all the rest of them books and things, but read this book. The Bible, read it, study it, meditate on it. After he died, on the way home, I'm telling the Lord, "Lord, you got to tell me what I did wrong." And that's when I told you, like I told you a while ago, finally, it took 3 hours to get through. 3 hours of asking the Lord why this happened. When he told me that I didn't do anything wrong, but the problem was his, and that I would find my answer in John 15, 2. And that's when I didn't know John 15, 2, so I turned over to John 15, 2 and found every branch in me that bears no fruit. I cut it off. That's when I said, "God," I said, "you killed him. Lord, if that means what it says, you killed him." I said, "Lord, why would you kill him?" He said, "Son, he wasn't producing any fruit." He said, "I told all of you, if you don't produce fruit for my kingdom, I'll cut you off. I don't need you. I'll cut your tree down." I said, "Lord, it wasn't his fault. It was that woman's fault." I knew I'd get a smile out of you girls on that. The Lord says, "Son, I didn't put that woman in charge of the home. I put the man in charge of the home, and I hold him responsible for the home." And he did not do what I told him to do. So he's the one that got killed. Is that scary stuff?
Yes.
If you are a husband, you better become a good one and a man that loves his wife like Christ loved the church, and you better start loving that woman. You better start being a good boy. You better get rid of all sin. You better start producing fruit for the kingdom if you want to live. Does God make exceptions to his rule?
No.
No. If he put this in the book, this is for every one of us. Is that right?
Yes.
Now, if he told you girls to submit to your good husband too, what do you think he meant there? You think he meant for you girls to submit to your husband? Yes, he did. You know, so he really did. So, you know, that, you can't just throw this one way or the other. There's requirements on both sides, right, Mike? Yeah, there's requirements on both sides. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this word. I thank you for the word of God. The word, Lord, that tells us who we are and what we can do and what we can't do, what we're supposed to do. Everything's written in this wonderful book we call the Holy Bible. Lord, give us revelation, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding from this word, just like Paul asked in Ephesians 1 and 3. Lord, give my people, give your people, wisdom, knowledge, revelation, and understanding of this mighty word, the mighty word of the living God, so that we can receive it, we can get the revelation, we can do it and obey it and do what you say, so you can bless us and our children. Because, Lord, if we will just try to do what you said, you're trying to bless us just abundantly. And, Lord, you're doing that, and you are blessing your people. Just like Miss Betty said a while ago, Lord, she wants to hear you say, well done, my daughter. But, Lord, not only does she want to hear that, all of us want to hear that. And we know that if we'll just be about your business and produce fruit for your kingdom, then you will do that. When we get home one day, you will welcome us into the kingdom and say, well done, son or daughter. You've done a good job for me. You produce fruit for the kingdom. And I think he'll go down through there and say, you know, this is the fruit that you bore. And he'll show us somebody got saved, healed, or delivered, or whatever, and say, just like I mean, he'll go up and tell Carrie and her husband one day, you know, this is the lady that y'all went and prayed for, and I spoke to you that day because I knew your faith was faltering. And when you looked at her and you saw how bad she was, I spoke to you and told you, well, Lazarus, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. He'd been dead 4 days, but this woman's still alive.
Hallelujah.
Is that what he said, Carrie?
That's what he said.
Yeah, and so he's letting you know that, hey, she's still alive. She's a piece of cake for me. All you got to do is pray, girl. I'll take care of the rest. And he did it, didn't he? Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all the wonderful things you do for us. And we give you praise and glory and honor and thanksgiving for being the mighty God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that you are. Help us to be better Christians this week as we go out about your business, doing great things for your kingdom. And help us to realize that you're God and there's nothing too big for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.